Namado Sanay Patita Papanatumavinay Kehunay
Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada
Shabbatai Om Vishnubai Paramahansa Paramacharya Alstra Tara Sri Shimai His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Sivasiri Gaur Vakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shishi Radha Krishna Govika Vatnath Shyamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam ki jai, Maturidam ki jai, Jagannathaswami ki jai, Yamunamai ki jai, Srimati Gulasi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Gaur. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Budle, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dhanamani, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharane, Nivashesha Shunyabadi, Paschacha Deja Tarini. So, Omagana Timirandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual masters, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Okay, so we're continuing with our discussion of the discussion between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Right now we're in the middle of the sixth chapter of the Bhajalila, and in this section of the Bhajalila we've been reading Gopinath Acharya, the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, is having a discussion with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about Lord Chaitanya's ontological position. That means who Lord Chaitanya is, what his identity, what's the tatwa of Lord Chaitanya. And Gopinath Acharya is citing some shastra. At the same time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is not accepting, but we will see after he has his discussion with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the Atmarama verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, he will surrender to Lord Chaitanya and understand that Lord Chaitanya is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna. Nahe Anya, he is no other than Radha Krishna appearing as one in this age of Kali. And he becomes a pure devotee of the Lord from being an impersonalist Mayavadi rascal. No, he wasn't really a rascal. We don't want to say that about him. Anyway. So, let's go. Okay, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay. Now, the Bhattacharya is speaking in this verse. It's 110 in the Majalila, chapter 6. Tave Bhattacharya Kahe Yaha Goshanirastane Amara name gana sahita kara nimantrane. So, after hearing this from Gopinath Acharya, that is hearing the shastric descriptions that prove that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga Avatar, Not the Leela avatar, he's the Yuga avatar. Remember that difference. Because he's Channa avatar. Channa avatar means he's covered, not that he is covered, but we are covered, or people are covered, and they can't understand he's the Yuga avatar. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, first go to the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying and invite him here with his associates. Ask him on my account. Prasadani Tandre Karahagi Viksha Paschadasimare Karaiha Siksha. Take Jagannath Prasadam and first give it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. After that, come back here and teach me well. Acharya Bhagini Pati Shalaka Bhattacharya Nindastuti Hasi Siksha Karana Acharya. Gopinath Acharya was the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, therefore the relationship was very sweet and intimate. Under the circumstances, Gopinath Acharya taught him by sometimes blaspheming him, sometimes praising him, and sometimes laughing at him. This had been going on for some time. So, basically, if one has a very, very, very close relationship with someone, then the relationship is extremely sweet in many ways. Not that it's just like, let's say, sweet words all the time. There can be teasing and laughing and joking and even criticizing each other. This indicates a very, very close relationship. And there's another instance of this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually chastising and criticizing Jagannanda Pandit, because Jagannanda Pandit is giving advice to Sanatana Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is calling him Jaga, not even his name. That shows a very intimate relationship where someone actually shortens your name and say, Jaga, that Jaga, he's advising you, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami. He's like a child, and even I take advice from you. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, upon hearing that statement of Lord Chaitanya about Jagannanda Pandit, Sanatana Goswami got upset and he said, I can understand that you have a very sweet, intimate relationship with Jagannanda Pandit, and I'm simply getting the bitter nimba, like a nimba is very bitter, like nim tree. Nimba words of praise. So sometimes it's like that. Sometimes when you praise someone, it's not such a close relationship. Sometimes you do. It's not that if you praise someone, then it's a bad relationship, but sometimes if you praise someone, it indicates, you know, you're just like a little careful with that person because you have to walk on thin ice. I don't know if any of you understand what it means to walk on thin ice. Walking on thin ice means, let's say if the river freezes over or the lake freezes over and you walk on it, and it's very thin, you could fall through it any minute. So you got to be real careful sometimes talking to certain people. Certain people are also on a hair trigger. I'm not going to describe what that is. It means they can explode. So, but when you have a very close relationship, you can tease, and it's sweeter. Like you see between Lord Chaitanya and Jagannanda Pandit, and then also between, Srila Prabhupada with a relationship, but not exactly a teasing relationship, but with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj could advise Srila Prabhupada, of course, with the proper etiquette. It wasn't like a friendly relationship. It was still spiritual master and disciple. But between Radha and Krishna. Because Radharani is chastising Krishna, and Krishna is just sitting there and taking it. Even though he is the Supreme Personality of God, he doesn't have to take anything. So that shows a very intimate relationship. Okay, let's continue. Acharyara Siddhante Mukundera Haila Santosha Bhattacharyara Vakye Mane Haila Dukarosha. Srila Mukunda Datta felt very satisfied to hear the conclusive statements of Gopinath Acharya, but he became very unhappy and angry to hear the statements put forward by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So if someone criticizes someone you love makes you angry. That's not bad. That's natural. Or if someone says something wrong, factually incorrect, you can get angry. For example, let's say a mother has a child, because mothers do have children. And you go up to the mother and say, your child is ugly. You cannot criticize the mother for getting angry, because there's love there. So sometimes people would criticize Prabhupada for getting angry when Krishna was criticized. They criticize Krishna for being simply a manifestation of the impersonal Brahman. Prabhupada got really angry. And also, Prabhupada was following in the footsteps of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was called Nrisinga Guru. He would get angry and sometimes even physically pick up a Mayavadi by the scruff of his, of course, not the scruff of his neck, that you do with a cat or something like that. By a shirt. Goshanira stane acharya kaila gama patacharya raname tanril kaila nimantrana. Oops, let's see, get back to that. According to the instructions of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gopinath Acharya went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and invited him on the Bhattacharya's behalf. Mukunda sahite kahe Bhattacharyera Charyera kata Bhattacharyera nindakare mane panyavyata. The Bhattacharya's statements were discussed before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopinath Acharya and Mukunda Das disapproved of the Bhattacharya's statements because they caused mental pain. That's love. It's a symptom of love. We're not Mayavadis. If someone who you love is criticized, get angry. Of course, don't do anything stupid. But getting angry is completely appropriate. It's a manifestation of loving someone. Shuni Mahaprabhu kahi aichi mat kaha ama prati bhattacharyera hayanu graha. Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, do not speak like that. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has shown great affection and mercy toward me. In other words, if you yourself are getting criticized, don't get angry at the person who's criticizing you. However, if someone criticizes someone whom you love, get angry. But if someone criticizes me, you just tolerate and even thank the person. Helps you become humble. Amara sannyasa dharma jahena rakhite vatsalya karana karena kitosha ihate. Out of paternal, that means fatherly, affection for me, he wants to protect me and see that I follow the regulated principles of a sannyasi. What fault is there in this? So, Lord Chaitanya has seen it in a similar way as Nanda Maharaj sees Krishna. Nanda Maharaj is not saying Krishna is the supreme personality of God. He's saying he's my son. I got to protect him. So because this mood of paternal affection in the case of Nanda Maharaj overrides any consideration of understanding the tattva. However, in the case of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it wasn't exactly like that. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepting that mood even though it's not in the same pure mood as Nanda Maharaj had. He's accepting that. The wonderful thing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that there's a mixed mood in approaching him. He accepts the good and ignores the bad. I'll give you an example. Let's take your good friend, not my good friend, Putana. Okay, Putana. She was approaching Krishna to kill him, but she had some maternal affection for him, actually because of her previous life as Bali Maharaj's sister. That's a different story. But still, she had some maternal affection. She was thinking, he's my son, but I gotta kill him. So Krishna accepted that he's my son business, but not that I'm going to kill him. And then Krishna transported her to the spiritual world, where she got the eternal position of being Krishna's mother, of one of many of Krishna's mothers. Not directly, because Mother Yashoda has that particular position. It's very unique. But in the same sort of mood in the spiritual world. There's many ladies who get to breastfeed Krishna in the spiritual world or approach Krishna like that. So, anyway. Actually, Krishna doesn't appear as a baby in the spiritual world. But at least that mood or the remembrance that Krishna was a baby. So, anyway, so Krishna is so kind that Akama, Sarvakama, Mokshakama, Dharati, Tivraina Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param, that for whatever reason you approach Krishna, then Krishna just takes the good. Isn't that merciful? Hey Krishna, Karana Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostate. Oh Krishna, you're an ocean of mercy. Karana Sindhu. Dina Bandhu Jagatpate. You are the friend of the poor in the universe. Gopesha Gopi. You are the lord of the gopis and the coward boys. Kanta. And of course, Radha Kanta. The most to say, offer my obeisances unto you because you are the dearmost to Srimati Radharani. So Bhattacharya Sanghe Tandar Mandire Aila. Prabhure asana diya apane vasila. When they entered the temple, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a seat, while he himself sat down on the floor out of due respect for a sannyasi. Vedanta padaita tabe arambha karila sneha bhakti kari kachu prabhure kaila. He then began to instruct Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on Vedanta philosophy, and out of affection and devotion, he spoke to the Lord as follows, because he had that paternal mood. Even though he was prideful, even though he didn't understand the tattva, didn't understand who Lord Chaitanya was, but because he was doing it out of love. Wow. Wow. Whatever one reason one approaches Krishna, especially out of love, one gets the benefit. The Vedanta of Brahma Sutra, written by Srila Vyasadeva, is a book studied by all advanced spiritual students, especially sannyasis of all religious communities and sampradayas. The sannyasis must read the Vedanta Sutra to establish their final conclusions concerning Vedic knowledge. Here, of course, the Vedanta mentioned in the commentary of Shankaracharya, known as Sarirakya Pasha. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya intended to convert Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a Vaishnava sannyasi, into a Mayavadi sannyasi. You! He therefore made this arrangement to instruct him in the Vedanta Sutra according to the Sarirakya commentary of Shankaracharya. All the sannyasis of the Shankara Sampradaya enjoy seriously studying the Vedanta Sutra with the Sarirakya Bhasha commentary. It is said, Vedanta Vakyeshu Sadha Ramanta, one should always enjoy the studies of the Vedanta Sutra. Now, if you study the Vedanta Sutra with the Mayavad commentary, or Shankaracharya's especially, you will not enjoy. My God, how can you enjoy that? So one may say, why aren't we studying the Vedanta in the Krishna Conscious Movement? What's wrong? Why hasn't it been published? Well, I got news for you. The commentary on the Vedanta for us is what? Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the commentary on the Vedanta written by the same author, Srila Vyasadeva, who wrote his own commentary, which is known as the Srimad Bhagavatam. And pretty much begins with the same verse as the Srimad Bhagavatam anyway. So, Vedanta Shravana, Sanyasira Dharma, Nirantarakara Tumi Vedanta Shravana. The Bhattacharya said, hearing Vedanta, okay, Let's understand what Vedanta means. Veda means knowledge. Anta means the conclusion or the end of knowledge. The absolute conclusion, perfect knowledge about the tattvas, I mean, who or what we are, who Krishna is, what the relationship is. It's called sambandhagyan. And then abhidhayagyan, what to do about it, and prayojanagyan, the ultimate realization. So here in Vedanta philosophy is the sannyasi's main business. Therefore, and that's what I do, because I preach Vedanta from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, without hesitation, you should study Vedanta philosophy, hearing it without cessation from a superior person. Prabhukahe, that means the Lord Chaitanya said, more tumikara anugraha se kartavya tumiye mora kaha. Lord Chaitanya replied, you are very merciful to me, and therefore I think it is my duty to obey your order. Satadina paryantahaiche karena shavane balamanda nahikahe pasimatra shune. Thus for 7 days continually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the Vedanta philosophy expounded by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was really patient. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not say anything and did not indicate whether it was right or wrong. He simply sat there and listened to the Bhattacharya. Astama divase tanre puche sarvabhoma satadina karatume vedanta shavana. On the 8th day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you've been listening to Vedanta philosophy from me. Continually for 7 days. Balamanda nahika brahmanadari bhuja ki na bhuja iha bhushite na pari. You have simply been listening, fixed in your silence. Since you do not say whether you think it is right or wrong, I cannot know whether you are actually understanding Vedanta philosophy or not. Prabhukahe murkaami nahi adhyayana tomara yate matra kriye shavana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I'm a fool. Consequently, I do not study the Vedanta Sutra. I'm just trying to hear it from you because you have ordered me. Sanyasira dharma laki. Of course, he's just making that up because he's the most expert in philosophy. He's the author of all the philosophies. Vedanta vid evakrid, you know, so he's the author of it. He's a knower of Vedanta. Sanyasira dharma lagi shravana matra kare tumiye artakara ushite na pari. Only for the sake of executing the duties of the renounced order of sannyas do I listen. Unfortunately, I cannot in the least understand the meaning you are presenting after 7 days. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as if he were a sannyasi in name only, or in other words, a number one fool. Mayavadi sannyasis in India are very much accustomed to declaring themselves jagat gurus, teachers of the world. Actually, the word jagat means the universe. Although they have no information of the outside world and are limited in their experience to a small town or village, or perhaps to the country of India. Nor do such sannyasis have sufficient education. Unfortunately, at the present moment, there are many foolish sannyasis, both in India and elsewhere, who simply read and study Vedic literature without understanding the purport when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having his discussion with the Chand Qazi, the Muslim magistrate of Navadvipa. He recited a verse from the Vedic literature to the effect that the order of sannyas is prohibited in this age of Kali. Yes. Only those who are very serious and who follow the regulated principles and study Vedic literature should accept sannyas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of the sannyasis reading the Vedanta Sutra of Rama Sutra, but he did not approve the Sarivrakya commentary of Shankaracharya. It's a Mayavadi commentary. Indeed, he said elsewhere, Mayavadi Vashas Shunile Haya Sarvanash. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhima 6, 169. If one hears the Sarivrakya Bhasha of Shankaracharya, he's doomed. Thus a sannyasi, a transcendentalist, must read the Vedanta Sutra regularly, but he should not read the Sariratya Bhashya. This is the conclusion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The real commentary, this is what I just said, in the Vedanta Sutra is Srimad Bhagavatam. Arthoyam Brahmasutra Nahum. Srimad Bhagavatam is the original commentary on the Vedanta Sutra written by the author himself, Srila Vyasadeva. And I explained that earlier to everyone. Bhattacharya kahena bhushyena jnanayara bhushibara lagi seya huche punarvara. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, I accept that you do not understand. Yet even one who does not understand inquires about the subject matter. Tumi shuni shuni rahamona matradhari hridaye giyache tumara ujite na pare. You are hearing again and again, yet you keep silent. I cannot understand what is actually within your mind. Prabhu kahi sutra artha bhujiye nirmala tumara vyakya shuni mana hayata vikala. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then revealed his mind, saying, I can understand the meaning of each sutra very clearly, but your explanations have simply agitated my mind. In other words, he's saying, you don't know what you're talking about. You're deviating from the actual meaning in your commentary or in the commentary of Shankaracharya. The factual meaning of the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra is as clear as sunshine. The Mayavadi philosophers simply try to cover the sunshine with the clouds of interpretations imagined by Shankaracharya and his followers. So this word interpretations is very interesting. And it's used in different ways, in different contexts. You know, sometimes Prabhupada said we shouldn't interpret the Shastras. In other words, give a speculative meaning of the Shastras of the scriptures as we read them. And in other times, Prabhupada has recommended we should speak our interpretations of the Shastras, meaning we should explain the Shastras according to our disciplic succession, the Acharyas in our disciplic succession, and other Shastras. So the word interpretation is a kind of funny word which can be used differently in different contexts. It's not that we don't interpret things, you know. Like if Krishna says, for example, what? Dehi no smin yata dehi. That the living entity is undergoing changes of body, kumaram yovanam jara, from babyhood to boyhood to youthhood to old age to death. And, all right, so he gives that explanation. So I may interpret that saying, all living entities undergo these different changes. And of course, the Vedas also say that. Or I may interpret it or apply it to a particular circumstance. Yes, I'm old. Therefore, I've undergone all these changes. So that the meaning of the word interpretation is kind of funny. I'd rather use the word speculation. Sutra, in certain cases, speculation or, let us say, explanation. Rather than use interpretation for both things, I'd rather say speculation, which is something you don't want to do, and then explanation, further explanation, or, yeah, let's say, fleshing out a particular prayer. I hate to use that word, fleshing out, but just like expanding the meaning on the meaning of a particular verse or purport or statement of Krishna or an Acharya. Sutra artha bhashya kahe prakashya tumi bhashya kaha sutra artha achadya. The meaning of the aphorisms in the Vedanta Sutra contain clear purports in themselves, but other purports you presented simply covered the meaning of the sutras like a cloud. Please refer to Adi Lila, the 7th chapter, verses 106 to 146 for an explanation of this verse. So, give you an example. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, this is one verse, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyajima Namaskuru. So he says, just think of me. Me, come a devotee, worship, offer your obeisances unto me. So, that's the direct meaning. Me. Think of me. Manmana. Father, become what my bottom, my, not my, but my devotee. All my obeisances to me. A personal pronoun. So that's the direct meaning. And so the interpretation, the proper interpretation would be, yes, Krishna means himself. But the indirect interpretation that would cover the meaning of that particular verse would be, Krishna doesn't mean himself. He's speaking figuratively, referring to something beyond himself, which is kind of weird. But one great commentator, not great, but, you know, nonsense commentary, he said that Krishna is referring to something unborn, beginningless, not himself. That's kind of stupid. It's like me saying, bring me some, let's say, prasadam. And then you say, well, you don't mean to bring it to you. You should bring it to the chipmunks outside your house. Or throw it in the air. Give it to the Brahman. Sutra ramukya hartana haraha vyakhyana kalpanarte tumi taha kara achadana. You do not explain the direct meaning of the Brahma Sutras. Indeed, it appears that your business is to cover their real meaning. In other words, you're cheating, buddy. This is typical of all Mayavadis or atheists who interpret the meaning of Vedic literature in their own imaginative way. The real purpose of such foolish people is to impose the impersonalist conclusion on all Vedic literature. The Mayavadi atheists also interpret the Bhagavad Gita. In every verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In every verse, Vyasadeva says, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, that means the Supreme Lord spoke. The Supreme Personality of God has said, or the Blessed Lord said. It is clearly stated that the Blessed Lord is the Supreme Person, but Mayavadi atheists still try to prove that the Absolute Truth is impersonal. The Blessed Absolute Truth. Kind of weird. In order to present their false imaginary meanings, they must adopt so much word jugglery and grammatical interpretation that they finally become ludicrous. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remarked that no one should hear the Mayavadi commentaries or purports to any Vedic literature. Yeah, it's stupid to hear that. Upanishad shabdeye mukya harita haya se arta mukya vyasa sutre sabe kaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the Vedanta Sutra is the summary of all the Upanishads. Therefore, whatever direct meaning is there in the Upanishads is also recorded in the Vedanta Sutra or Vyasa Sutra. So you have many, many Upanishads. There's 108 primary Upanishads, many of whom, of which that we study. For example, the Isha Upanishad, or the Isha Upanishad, and other ones, Shvetasvatara Upanishad and other Upanishads. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained the word Upanishad in his Anubhasha. Please refer to Adi Lila, the second chapter, fifth verse, and Adi Lila, the seventh chapter, verses 106 and 108 for his explanation. Upanishad. Basically, to come nearer to the spiritual master or come nearer to the source of knowledge and take a humble position. Mukyartha chadi akara konartha kalpana abhidavritti chadi kara shabdera lakshana. For each sutra, the direct meaning must be accepted without interpretation. However, you simply abandon the direct meaning and proceed with your imaginative interpretation. Ramanera madhi shruti ramana pradana shrutiye mukhyarta kahe se pramana. Although there is other evidence, the evidence given in the Vedic version must be taken as foremost. Vedic versions understood directly are first-class evidence. Works that should be consulted are Srila Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha 10-11. So the Tattva Sandarbha is a treatise on Epistemology. That means, how do you know what you know? And in the Tattvasiddhanta, it's established that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate, incontrovertible source of knowledge for us. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana's commentary on that and the following verses of the Brahma Sutra, Shastra Yonitvat, that's from the Vedanta Sutra, 113, and Tarka Pratishthanat, that's 2.1.11, and Shrutestu Shabda Mulatvat, that's 2.1.27, is commented on by Sri Ramanujacharya, Sri Madhvacharya, and Sri Madhvacharya, and Sri Baladeva Jibhushana. In his book, Sarasamvadini, Srila Jiva Goswami has noted that although there are 10 kinds of evidence, you know, this is, again, epistemology we're talking about, direct perception, the Vedic version, historical reference of hypothesis, and so on, and although they are all generally accepted as evidence, the person presenting an hypothesis, reading the Vedic version, perceiving or interpreting by his experience, is certain to be imperfect in four ways. And here Prabhupada again is explaining, according to Jiva Goswami, the four imperfections of the conditioned soul. That is, he is subject to committing mistakes. We all do that. To become illusioned. In other words, to think that something is different than that which it is, or to think that something exists when it doesn't exist, or to think that something doesn't exist when it does exist. To cheating, not only cheating one's other people, cheating oneself, and having imperfect senses. Our senses are designated. We can only see, let's say we can't see through walls. We can only see in a limited spectrum of light. You know, there's animals who see other spectra of light. Like some of the animals can see like near ultraviolet or near infrared. And we can't see. And also the hearing is the same thing. Some animals like dogs can hear a very high-pitched sound, which we can't hear. Although, so in other words, we're just perceiving a very, very small part of the entire spectrum of sound, of sight, of smell, or any of the objects of the senses. So they're imperfect, and we experience them imperfectly. For example, if you have COVID, you can't even smell something or taste something. So they're designated senses. Although the evidence may be correct, the person himself is in danger of being misled due to his material defects. Apart from the direct presentation, there's a chance that an interpretation may not be perfect. Therefore, the conclusion is that only a direct presentation can be considered evidence. An interpretation cannot be accepted as evidence, but may be considered proof of evidence. In other words, evidence has to be direct statement. Even perception, direct perception, can be faulty because of imperfect senses. In the Bhagavad Gita, at the very beginning, it is stated, what is this? First verse, Dhritarashtra vacha dhamma kshetare kura kshetare samaveta yayutsavaha mamakal pandavaschai vakim akurvata sanjaya. The statements of the Bhagavad Gita are themselves proof there is a place of pilgrimage named Kurukshetra where the Pandavas and Kurus meant to fight. And if you like, you can go there today. After meeting there, what do they do? That's what this verse says. This was Dhritarashtra's inquiry to Sanjaya. Although these statements are very clear, atheists try to interpret different meanings of the words Kurukshetra and Kurukshetra. Sometimes they say that the Dharmakshetra is the body and the Pancha Pandavas are the five senses. You know, they make up so many different crazy interpretations. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has warned us not to depend on any kind of interpretation. It's better not to take the verse. It's better to take the verses as they are without interpretation. In other words, without speculative interpretation. You should take it with direct interpretation. Like I said, the word interpretation is really a funny word that can be understood differently in different contexts. Jivarashti vishtadvi shangagomaya shrutibake sedvi mahabhavitra haya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, conch shells and cow dung are nothing but the bones and stools of living entities, but according to the Vedic version, they are both considered very pure. So here's an apparent contradiction, but actually can be rectified by understanding things in context. According to Vedic principles, bones and dung are generally considered very impure. Phew! It's like sometimes I'm walking in the park and we may step on dog dung. Ew! If one touches a bone or stool, he must take a bath immediately. That is the Vedic injunction. Yet the Vedas also enjoin that a conch shell, although the bone of an animal, and cow dung, although the stool of an animal, are very much sanctified. Even though such statements appear contradictory on the basis of the Vedic version, we still accept the fact that conch shells and cow dung are pure and sanctified. And as far as the cow dung is concerned, that has been verified in laboratories. The cow dung is aseptic and antiseptic. In other words, kills bacteria. And it doesn't have bacteria, except healthy bacteria. Anyway, that's a fact. Swata pramana veda satya ye kaya lakshana karile swata pramanya hani haya. The Vedic statements are self-evident. Whatever is stated there must be accepted. If we interpret according to our own imagination, the authority of the Vedas is immediately lost. In other words, you're using the Vedas to present your own opinion instead of the Vedas' opinions. Prabhupada said, if you have some philosophy to present, don't use the Bhagavad Gita for it. If you're going to use the Bhagavad Gita, present what's in the Bhagavad Gita. But write your own book instead of the Bhagavad Gita, the Rascal Gita you can write. That's more honest. Prabhupada said, at least be honest. Out of the four types, main types of evidence, direct perceptions, that means with the eyes, hypothesis guessing, historical reference, and the Vedas, Vedic evidence is accepted as the foremost. If we want to interpret the Vedic version, we must imagine an interpretation according to what we want to do. First of all, we set forth such an interpretation as a suggestion or hypothesis. As such, it is not actually true, and the self-evident proof is lost. In other words, this is what many scientists do with scientific theories. They come up with a theory first, and then they fit the evidence to that theory. And then later on, they find out that there's contradictory evidence that doesn't fit that theory. So people do that with the Vedas. They have their theory first, and they say, all right, here's the Vedas, and they try to squeeze certain parts of the Vedas or misinterpret or indirectly interpret certain parts of the Vedas to fit their particular theory. First is the theory, then after that is the interpretation of the Vedas. Instead of first there's the Vedas, and then you come up with your opinion based upon the Vedas. So they have it backwards. Srila Madhvacharya commenting on the aphorism Drishyate Tu, that's in the Vedanta Sutra 216, quotes the Bhavishya Purana as follows: Rigyajur Samartharavash Cha Bharatam Pancharatrakam Mula Ramayanam Chaiva Veda Ityeva Shabditaha Puranani Chayaniha Vaishnavani Vido Vidahu Swata Pramanyam Vitesham Natra Kinchid Vichariate. The Rig Vedas, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Dharvaveda, Mahabharata, Pancharatra, and original Ramayana are all considered Vedic literature. The Puranas that are especially meant for Vaishnavas, such as the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Naradi Purana, Vishnu Purana, and Bhagavat Purana, that's the Srimad Bhagavatam, in case you didn't know, are also Vedic literature. Therefore, whatever is stated in such Puranas or in the Mahabharata and Ramayana is self-evident. There is no need for interpretation. The Bhagavad Gita is also within the Mahabharata. Therefore, all the statements of the Bhagavad Gita are self-evident. There is no need for interpretation. And if we do interpret, the entire authority of the Vedic literature is lost. In fact, in the Rig Veda, there is the statement, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padaha Pashanti Yat Surya, that all the demigods, they're looking to Vishnu. And secondly, we have the statement, Itihasha Purananam Panchama Veda Uchite, that the Itihasas, that means the histories like Ramayana, Mahabharata, and the Puranas like the Srimad Bhagavatam are considered to be the fifth Panchama Veda Uchute. Okay, so we ended at text 137. And so now we can take some questions. We got a few minutes left. Or questions. Hold on a second. Let me allow you to unmute yourselves. Spirit souls. Okay, you are unmuted or allowed to unmute yourselves. Who has a question? No one has a question. Where's Prime Govinda? Okay, Prime Govinda, what's your question?
Please accept my humble obeisances, all goes to Prabhupada.
Okay, so question.
I love your Bengali accent.
Bengali, I'm Bengali.
Apni Bengali achen.
Yes.
Maharaj, just curiosity.
Thank you very much.
You sound like so Bengali, Maharaj.
You are so merciful. Kripa Sindhu.
Yeah, that's how they talk.
Isn't that how they sound?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe yes. Last life you are in Bengal.
Saduji, give me your mercy, Saduji. What's up?
Maharaj, just a curious question. Srila Prabhupada writes a letter to Mother Jodhurani. And in the letter, he says, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this is his last life. There are a few questions he was answering. And he says, he comes from the heavenly planet, and this is his last life. So I'm just curious because I was reading that how the final acceptance by the Lord before we enter into spiritual world, it's actually happened somewhere in this universe where the pastime is going on.
Yes.
So is that how like we have to become like a heart challenge before Lord accept us, or will be like a little smoother?
Yes. Generally, that's the case. There has to be some sort of final purification, training up. Mm. You know, that's just life in the material world.
In Krishna books,
it's mentioned in the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika by Kavi Kanapur that he was Brihaspati.
Yes, Prabhupada mentioned that he's from heaven. And Prabhupada said in that letter to Jodhurani, this is his last life.
Yes.
Mahaprabhu, before Lord Chaitanya accept him, now he's going to go back home. I was like, wow, this like is such excitement, but such a challenge. I was also wondering, like, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered Jagai Madai next day after the report came from Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. And Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur got after 1 year, where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya only got after 7 days.
That's right.
Is there a gradation of offense? Prakashananda, like 1 year, first year he didn't even deliver. Next year when he came back. Or it just, that's how the leela is.
It's whenever the Lord wants to do it in his leela. I mean, look at Putana. She had to take another birth. She was the sister of Bali Maharaj.
Yes.
And then she had to take another birth in order to get fully purified. And still, and then Surpanaka also.
But Maharaj, then there is a question. Surpanaka, that's from Ramayana. It's millions years back.
That's right.
And Dwapar Yuga is just recently, 5,000 years back or whatever.
That's right. So she had to wait. She had to wait a little while.
Little while, Maharaj. That's a million years.
But how long? How long did Jambavati have to wait?
Wow.
Right.
That's true. That's
Yeah,
true.
Jambavati, for those people who don't know, that Jambavati was the son or the daughter of Jambavan, and Jambavan wanted her to marry Lord Ram, but Lord Ram said Ekapatni Vrata. So she had to wait a long time to get a good husband.
But the life is not boring, right? There should be. I'm just curious. I don't
So
know.
sometimes, anyway, I mean, time is relative. Time is relative. Let's just say that. That it just depends. You could leave your body and your next birth can be in 10 billion lifetimes from now, 10 billion years from now.
Wow.
Because time is relative according, like for example, if you go up to the heavenly planets, Lord Brahma's time, one moment, one half of a second or tenth of a second or lava matra is like a whole year on the earth planet. Like when Lord
So,
Brahma stole the coward boys and calves, it was just like an instant and he came back, it was a whole year. So time is relative, so you can't really say that Jambavati had to just like sit around for millions of years waiting for her husband to come.
I see. So you are saying that it's depends on the location, not necessarily
It depends on the
our
location.
calculation
Like
applies.
Jambavan, for example, is Brahma's son. So he has access to the heavenly planets. He has access to, who knows? He might have taken Jambavati up to the heavenly planets, and then she just has to wait a few seconds to marry
Oh, you didn't
Krishna.
ask him, Maharaj? Just
No, I didn't
curious.
ask. Jambavan is Chiranjiva. In other
Yes.
words, he lives for a whole lifetime of Lord Brahma. And so he has actually seen Lord Ram's pastimes previously. And he actually saw, it's described that he saw the pastime of Lord Baraha. When Lord Baraha appeared, he actually circumambulated him. He flew around Lord Baraha. So Jambavan is a special personality. He can actually go from one planet to another. Even, what is his name? The father, I forget right now. The father of Balaram's wife,
Kukudmi.
Kukudmi, he went up to the heavenly planets.
That's
Remember
true.
that
That's
story?
true. Yes.
And he went up to the heavenly planets because he was looking for a son-in-law for a husband for his daughter. And he went to see Lord Brahma. It was just a few minutes, and Lord Brahma said, "Hey, the whole time you were here, everybody who knew them, everybody has died. So you better go back down immediately because that way you're going to see Lord Balaram, and you can get your daughter married to Lord Balaram." So
Okay,
even you,
that
it's
makes sense.
interesting. Even you see people on the earth planet when they go to the heavenly planets, the time experienced in relative to the earth time is completely different. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, Maharaj.
Even the
Yes. Oh.
scientists talk about this. Einstein talked about this. It's called time dilation.
Oh.
Yeah. Einstein understood that, I mean, this is, of course, according to the theory of relativity, that if someone tries to travel close to the speed of light, very, very close, then every time for him slows down. So the time, let's say he can experience 1 second of his time can be 1 million years on the Earth planet. Even Einstein had this particular theory. And it's actually been shown through physicists have actually shown this with atom smashers or particle accelerators. Then when you accelerate an atom or a particle to a certain speed, it slows down when it gets close to the speed of light. And so it's time experience. So what I'm saying is time is relative. So
Yes.
similar to what the Vedic literatures tell us about going to heavenly planets.
You just reminded me of Abhiram Thakur Maharaj.
Yeah.
Abhiram Thakur, he did not take birth in Mahaprabhu's Leela. He just came straight from Govardhan to here.
Yeah.
That's like a mystical. 5,000 years ago. Felt like
Abhiram
a moment.
Abhiram Thakur also had a whip.
Yeah. Maharaj, I wish I could get that. I mean, at least one whip.
One whip. All right. All right, good question. Should we let someone else ask a question today? Who else wants to ask a question?
I'll take a try.
Okay, Jagat.
The aphorisms in Vedanta Sutra are they still require a lot of knowledge to understand because they are just abbreviations and they use a lot of jargon and so forth. So,
yes and no. Because if you study the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you can understand the aphorisms of Vedanta Sutra. Just like a Janma Jasa Yataha. You know, the absolute truth is that from which everything comes. So, yes, if you don't study Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, you won't understand it. Or Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now is the time to look or to inquire is the absolute truth. Actually, Vedanta Sutra, if you've studied Bhagavatam, is quite easy to understand. But if you haven't studied Bhagavatam, then it's kind of difficult. Like if someone says to you, now is the time to search for the absolute truth, then, you know, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Anvire Vyatare Kabyam Yatsyat Sarva Sarvada. That's actually a verse from the Bhagavatam which says the same thing. That one should look in every place, in every circumstance, and everywhere for the absolute truth. Anyway, so that's one of the nutshell verses. It's interesting. You can corroborate a lot of the Vedanta Sutra with the nutshell verses in the Bhagavatam. You know, the four nutshell verses, like, anyway. Kavadeva Jigyasa Tattva Vigyasa directly or indirectly in every circumstance. And that's the same thing as the Vedanta Sutra saying Tattva Brahma Jigyasa. So it's interesting. You can corroborate a lot of the Vedanta Sutra verses with the nutshell verses in the Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Aham evagre. Yes. Yeah.
Aham evasme evagre. Aham evasme evagre nannat jat sat asat.
Paschad aham yarat etaschad yo visheshayata soshmi aham. There's a Ajinja Beda Beda Tattva philosophy in that verse, which is really interesting. So I don't want to get too much into details, but the point is, yes, the Vedanta Sutra is very difficult to understand unless one has a commentary. Does that make sense, Jagat? I mean, I'm sure that most ISKCON devotees who have studied Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita can understand the Vedanta Sutra. Because the Vedanta Sutra is written in codes, very short statements. So if one understands how to unpack the codes, they're not actually secret codes. They're just very short statements because people who study the Vedanta Sutra were more intelligent than us, and they could understand, as soon as they said it, Atata Brahmi Yasa, that means, or Jamadyasa Yataha, the absolute truth is that which from everything comes, they could understand exactly what it meant.
Rudy.
All right? Yes.
Has anyone
you've actually changed your gender?
Yes,
oh my
I've
God!
I've improved my English diction
oh
as
my
well.
God, either little Krishna Priya has changed her gender, or someone named Gopal has changed his gender. So
we did a swap.
He did a swap. Okay. Okay. You know, goes around, comes around, you know. It's a law of karma. So, all right. So what's the question?
Has anyone translated Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Baladevi Vibhushan's Govinda Bhasha into English?
I'm sure someone has. I haven't.
Yes. I
who translated it?
I can send it to you, Maharaj.
Who translated it? Is that Bhanu Swami?
Bhanu Swami.
Yeah, Bhanu Swami.
You haven't read it yet, though, Gurudev?
No. I'm still studying Bhagavad Gita. I still haven't figured out I'm not the body. I love you, Maharaj.
You are so humble.
At least someone loves me. I still haven't figured out that eating prasadam is nice. You know, I'm still on that level. I'm still struggling with the six senses in the mind. Vacho vegam, manaso krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pashtaka vegam. I still don't understand that I'm not an American. I still don't understand I'm not a member of the Democratic Party. I still don't understand. I still don't understand why Donald Trump lost the election. You know, I'm not on a very high level of devotional service. All right. Anyway, we'll see you. We'll see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Jai.